This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to this final hour, sans TV of Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get Mortgage. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. You're also on radio.com. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney if you'd like to communicate with the show, or you can call us 855-212-4227. It's a good show. Some good guests so far. Sean Devaney, NBA writer, joined us in our first segment. Interesting takes on a lot of the teams in the East. Sean Porter, who is a Fox Sports boxing analyst, broke down a little bit for us the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury upcoming bout in Las Vegas tomorrow night, 9 p.m. He was really good, and he refused to predict, but he does think that there will be a knockout. A knockout. I think he's right. Deontay Wilder kind of was unsure in that first fight, if anybody watched it. He got peppered a little bit because Tyson Fury is actually a very good boxer, and he's big and he's long. And Deontay Wilder knew that he had to knock him down and out. He knocked him down in the ninth. It was a token knockdown. It wasn't really a solid one. But then in the 12th, he caught him and knocked him. What seemed like was with a finishing blow, a right left. I think it was a left right, left jab, right hook combination that put him down. It looked like Tyson Fury was knocked out. Yet he rose from the canvas like from the zombie apocalypse and ended up staying into the fight and ended in a draw. And now we sit here on the eve of this fight, and it's getting a lot of excitement pushed around it. So definitely check that out. You can check it all out on radio.com if you're interested in finding those segments in our podcast. We started the show talking about the return of NBA basketball post-All-Star break. A couple of games last night, the only one that I really cared about, I mean, there were some good ones, but the one that I really cared about was the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Brooklyn Nets at home. And again, obviously, it was an advantage, you would think, for the 76ers, who are an NBA best 26-2 at home. But they've been very inconsistent on the road, 9-19, listless in a lot of those games. And this All-Star break gave them a chance to recoup, to really look inside themselves and make a run. Currently, they're sitting in the 5 slot in the Eastern Conference. I mean, really, they're kind of tied with the Miami Heat because they're half a game back. They've played one more game, and it happens to be a loss. But the Sixers were on a roll, winning 3 in a row, obviously winning one coming out of the break as well. So they've won 4 in a row and 6 out of the last 4. So they're playing better, but that's only because those last 4 games have been at home. The previous 4 that they lost were all on the road, so they're streaky. But in the All-Star game, we saw, you know, Joel Embiid kind of dominate. So many of the NBA stars, I mean, those that are All-Stars, play around the perimeter. They like to shoot jumper or shoot three-pointers and, you know, score layups and, you know, with all the spacing that's out there, use their athleticism to be dominant players. But we saw that in this game, when his team needed to score, Joel Embiid's guys just dumped it down into the post and let him do his magic, which was a lot of dunks and a lot of short-range shots to the basket. Interestingly, the same thing happened in their first game back, as we were talking about, against the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets, who were without Kyrie Irving, who opted for for surgery that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, seemingly or should have been shorthanded. They were not. They actually played great basketball. I know Joe Harris had a good day, 12 points. I know he's a few important ones down the stretch, at least right before halftime. Caris LeVert had 25. Spencer Dinwiddie had 22. And they played good basketball, pushing it into overtime. But then the 76ers dominated, and it was mostly because of Joel Embiid, who had 39 points and 16 rebounds. Tobias Harris also added 22. But after the game, Joel Embiid was asked, you know, if he was carrying the momentum from that all-star performance where he was fed the ball a ton in the post into the first game after the all-star break.
The all-star game just proving that, you know, I'm here. I belong in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night, just play hard, trying to get wins and, you know, just go out and trying to win a championship.
Now, I don't think he was, like, trying to say that he's the best player in the world, but, I mean, it kind of comes off that way because of how he speaks, and he likes to talk trash, and you know, you roll your eyes a little bit. But given the, you know, the scenarios that I just ran through, in some ways he's certainly the best center in the NBA right now. Who else is there, Sam? You're trying
there's
to say
one
no?
other
who
there's one other. I mean, I guess you consider him a center.
Who?
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Anthony, but Anthony doesn't want to play center.
Nikola Jokic?
No, not a chance.
How about Enes Kanter?
No chance.
Oh, okay.
Even though Enes Kanter, we got to get to this at some point because the Boston Celtics have started to play some great, great basketball. And we look at them and say, well, they're not big enough. But Enes Kanter has actually started to play defense, so Boston could be viable. Maybe not, but it's worth talking about at some point. Joel Embiid's the best center in basketball right now. He's big. He's aggressive. He's a rim protector. He can shoot three-pointers. He knocks down one or two a game. So it's spacing-wise, he's phenomenal. He can play with his back to the basket. He can front you as well. He Euro-steps you. He's got good, you know, handle. The guy is he's unbelievable. Best player in the game? Probably not. Which got us to thinking about me and D-Cell and Samter, who actually is the best player in the game? Now, clearly you could just say, oh, this is easy. It's Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's the best player in the game. And his MVP from last season would attest to that. And it's hard to argue, especially now that he's averaging 30 points a game. He's improved his range. So he is shooting from three-point range. And last year, or last 2 years, he never was venturing out that far. So Giannis clearly is in this conversation, but Giannis plays in a small market. And I think when you think about best player in the game, it's subjective. I mean, clearly you could look at points or PER and make this an objective conversation, but I think from a subjective conversation, he's there. But some people would argue Kawhi, because Kawhi Leonard is a great defender, and Kawhi Leonard is the only player other than Michael Jordan to have a finals MVP, a defensive player of the year, which I believe he has two of them, and he also has two finals MVPs, and also an all-star MVP. Now, the all-star obviously is that's kind of who had the best day on a I don't care game, but still, it's on his mantle, the all-star MVP, and especially the first Kobe Bryant MVP, all-star MVP. So a lot of people would argue Kawhi, but Kawhi has always been not always available. And so when I think about what's, you know, from a subjective standpoint, again, this isn't objective, from a subjective standpoint, what's important, I want to be able to see the guy. So when I go watch the Clippers, I want to see my guy playing. You don't know if he's taking a maintenance day or is on the wrong end of one of these back-to-backs where he decides not to play. Kawhi is great, but he's also quiet. He doesn't, like, incite your emotional, I don't know, love for the game. in the way that the guy who I actually think is the best player still is. And that's LeBron. LeBron, in my mind, is still the best player. And I know that some people, including my co-host, who's not here, like to point to the fact that he's getting too many minutes. But in actuality, he's playing less minutes than he ever has historically. He had a whole season off last year, essentially, and no postseason because of that groin injury and the fact that the Lakers stunk. Yet here he is at 35 years old. He's 35. I think he's 35 years old, like reinventing his game, becoming almost a true point guard. He's not fully a true point guard, but almost becoming a true point guard and facilitating and making Anthony Davis excel at his role and lifting this Lakers team to the best record in the Western Conference right now. They play great on the road, so clearly his leadership and energy is there. In fact, they have a better road record than they do home record. To me, and he's exciting as hell to watch. You watch LeBron James, you're enjoying every minute of him on the basketball court. So in my mind, LeBron James is still the best player on the planet, despite a lot of guys catching up. And that'll change. Like, people are going to pass him in the next couple of years. But despite Joel Embiid saying he's the best in the world, I think the argument is for Giannis and Kawhi, but ultimately LeBron still takes it from me. D-Cell, who's your best player on the planet? I can't really say planet. We'll say in the NBA because we don't know anybody playing in Europe or Africa or anywhere else. Who do you say?
It's hard to argue with the two cases that you made there for LeBron and Kawhi. But if we're going to entertain Joel Embiid, who hasn't won anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm surprised you haven't brought this up since you're a little bit on the Houston Rockets bandwagon.
Yeah.
I mean, can we make a case for James Harden?
Yeah, of course it's a case. I mean, he scored 37 points last year. He averaged 37 points a game last year. I love the way James Harden plays. I think if this team, as is constructed now, where they've doubled down on being small, and again, I watched a little bit of the highlights of that game. I didn't watch that game. It was on too late last night against the Golden State Warriors. There, nobody goes in the paint. It's so bizarre to watch them play right now. Like, nobody gets into the paint, turns to face, you know, the perimeter and says, give me the rock. It just doesn't happen. You watch 48 minutes of basketball with the Houston Rockets, and nobody turns in the paint and says, post me up, puts their hand in the air and says, give me the rock. It just doesn't happen. It's bizarre to see. And it's so spread out because everybody is a couple of steps behind the three-point line, no matter where they are on the court, which I think plays to the athleticism of James Harden and also Russell Westbrook. I mean, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are playing pick and roll games, and they're like picking and rolling all the way to the basket. It's crazy to watch. It's actually fun. But the only reason I wouldn't say James Harden is because it's like there's a lack of completeness to what he does. Whereas LeBron, and I know for a couple of years he wasn't great on the defensive side because he was conserving energy, has actually picked that up. Their defensive rating is right up there with the best in basketball right now. And their net rating, which is offense and defense, is also in the top five. So, you know, a lot of that is because of LeBron's leadership. So LeBron, to me, is more complete, despite James Harden being more exciting offensively. Samter, what do you think?
I love the idea of LeBron. I think he's lost just enough of a step that a couple guys have passed him. But I'm right there with you. I don't think the minutes issue, as BT says, is really that much of an issue. He's playing fewer minutes than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Did not go to the finals. Didn't even go to the playoffs. Sat all this time out. But I'm still not quite ready to say he's the guy anymore. Still top five, but not the guy.
So who's your guy?
Giannis is the easy one, but he can't hit free throws. He can't hit from the outside, so his game's limited.
It's like disturbing how bad of a free throw shooter he is.
So the thing is, like, in crunch time, if he's going one-on-one against Kawhi, is he going to score? Is he going to be able to carry a team on his back? I want to lean towards Kawhi, but I'm going to give you a name that nobody's thinking of right now.
Who's that?
Because he's not playing this year. Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant is healthy, he's the best player in the NBA.
That's a good point.
I mean, he's a two-time finals MVP. He's a killer.
That's a great point.
He can hit everywhere. He can play defense. He can play offense. He can pass, post, rebound, whatever you need him to do. Now, we're not thinking about him because he's not playing, but to me, Kevin Durant's the best player in basketball right now.
No, you're right. And let's not forget, last year when asked with the Golden State Warriors to be a post-protection player, he led the team in blocks and I think also rebounds. And offensively, dude, if he has his spot, and I don't care who you are, unless you're you know, a Joel Embiid type, but you can't hang with him. He's getting to his spot, and even if you're in his grill, he's shooting over you. That's a good call, Samter. I didn't think about KD, because KD's not playing right now. And Steph. Steph's not playing either, but Steph, I mean, I guess in the world of shooting, because he scores at will, I'm going to be really interested, because they announced that Klay Thompson is not going to return for the rest of this season. Klay Thompson will not play again for the Golden State Warriors until next year. But Steph likely will. I'm interested to see Steph back without this massive scoring option in KD, and to see if he lights it up again like he did before KD got there the first time and they won that championship. Look, they're not going anywhere, the Golden State Warriors, but they are much more of an interesting team with Steph Curry on the court. All right, the owners, the NFL owners, agreed to a CBA. But one future Hall of Famer, he ripped it apart before he likely even saw it. Let's talk about this proposed new CBA and what's going to actually happen, especially after the executive council voted 6-5 not to ratify and the players are not voting on it. We'll get to that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It's O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today or visit online and rack up double O'Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Tiki Barber here, CBS Sports Radio. Samter, put us all in our place. KD is the best player on the planet. You're right. I was wrong.
Well, the question really is, I mean, we don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. Before he went out, he was the best player.
Do you think he's going to actually fall off that much? I think he's young. What is he, 29? 30? 31? Still, I mean, like staying in shape and workout. He's 31. Wow. I thought he was still at least 30. Still, he's still young enough where he can recover from an injury. That's the reason I'm asking. It's not because of his age, but because as you get older, and I remember this from playing football, completely different sport, but I remember this from playing football. When I hit 30 or 29, it got harder to, like, really hard to recover from injury. So recovering from an Achilles at 31, maybe.
And plus,
but I have no doubt.
His game on, like, Giannis or LeBron isn't based off of athleticism.
Yeah.
Even if he's a little bit slowed, he can still be athletic. He can still be, you know, dominant.
Yeah, he's not like Russell Westbrook, who, if Russell Westbrook, God forbid, should ever tear an Achilles, I mean, his explosiveness is gone. You look at him play now, I mean, he flies to the rim. KD's, that's not his game. He's finding his spot, and he's going to get to it. And he's going to make his shot, because nobody can check him. Okay, yesterday we heard about this new agreement, and a potential agreement, I should say, from the college, collective bargaining agreement. The NFL owners were summoned to New York to hash out and ratify a new proposal for the CBA with the NFL Players Association. This is a long time until this expires. It doesn't expire until March of 2021. And so getting this done this early is seen as, I mean, it obviously is nothing but a positive. And there's a couple of things that were put in place here, including a 17th game in the regular season, an increase in the share of revenue for the players. And incidentally, without the 17th game, that increase would be a percentage point. With the 17th game, that percentage would be a point and a half, so up from 47% to 48.5%, which is a really big deal if you think about the amount of money, league revenue monies that are coming into the National Football League. And so by all measures, this deal seems interesting, including a different, a neutral arbiter for suspensions for players. They talked about getting rid of suspensions for marijuana, which have been a humongous deal in the National Football League over the last couple of years. The pension plan for pre-2012 vested players, as well as pre-1999 vested players, were also very big deals. Active player benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and expansion of the postseason. Lots of moving parts here and lots to negotiate. But as soon as this came down, the owners ratifying this by a vote of 30-2, only two abstained. I don't know if we got full clarity on who those two were, but a 30-2 vote to ratify this on the owners' part. It was sent to the players. And before players even like saw this, some of them were saying no, including J.J. Watt, who just basically tweeted hard no, didn't even hear it. Now, I find that interesting because without fully seeing it, and maybe he saw an advanced, mock-up of this, but before he tweeted this out, you heard a lot of rhetoric from the VP of the Players Association, Richard Sherman, who says about Roger Goodell, don't negotiate this in the media. And for the most part, they didn't. I mean, you see these leaks here and there, but you don't hear Roger Goodell coming out stating their points about the new collective bargaining agreement and arguing in public. You do it via leaks, which you believe or maybe you don't believe. But J.J. Watt, who is a great player, a Hall of Famer, just comes out and rejects it out of hand. And the only reason I say that this is dangerous is because as soon as a guy like J.J. Watt does that, if it's a backup guard or whoever it may be or a lesser-known player, it's different. It doesn't resonate the same way. But when a guy who's as popular multiple-time defensive player of the year, he won it two or three times. I think he won it three times. I mean, J.J. Watt is one of the all-time greats at the position. When he comes out and just out of hand dismisses this, it creates a wave, and it creates like back and forth and conversation. And I think it's unfair to the process for a lot of players who might look at it very differently than J.J. Watt has and hasn't got a chance to see it. Now, the players have decided, they voted today not to vote on this until next week, so we won't get real clarity on whether or not this is going to get done until next week. And it's likely to be some back and forth still with more compensation, more concessions, particularly on the preseason as guys are worried about the toll on their bodies if the season gets a little bit longer. But I just think as much as we live in a social world where we want to communicate everything, the players have to remember that by being emotional, the last time there was a collective bargaining agreement discussion and ultimately a lockout, they got fleeced because they worried about things that didn't matter. And ultimately, the owners got the upper hand by crying poverty, which is nonsense. And so the players need to be smarter about how they approach this collective bargaining agreement this time, know exactly what you need, exactly what you want, and try to push that in, but don't do it publicly because it creates too much distraction for the 2,100 members who are going to ultimately vote on this. And listening to J.J. Watt tweet about it, and who knows what percentage now says, oh, yeah, forget this, it's a bad deal. You start down a path that you don't want to get on, especially in a labor relations potential fight if this thing gets pushed out to next year, which I don't think it will. I hope this gets done, even if there are concessions to how it's currently constructed. Just don't try to adjudicate this thing in public. It's not going to end well for either one of these guys. Players are wearing their own jerseys in public. What? My brother did this, wearing a Tiki Barber jersey one time in New York City. And I almost wrung his neck, making me look foolish. But you'll never guess which superstar is actually doing this right now. The Blast is next. But first, let's get a CBS Sports update from Richard Sherman. I mean...
I'll take
Richard,
it.
Richard Ackerman, please. Last segment here on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from JJ at JJ Sport Mo. Do you think boxing is the last great sport to see in person? Or, Tiki, would you rather just see it on HDTV in your home? Personally, I think seeing the blood and sweat fly ringside is great. That is an awesome question. I don't know if I've ever been to a live boxing match. I know I've been to UFC and MMA fights because they used to have them at the Garden, and my buddy Jay Glazer used to go to them, and it was so much more interesting seeing it in person because you feel the anguish of the competitor. Hockey was probably the one that I would have argued you need to see in person, but I might say boxing. Yeah, I'll agree with you. You got to see that one in person as well. Thanks for your question, JJ. Don't forget, you can submit a question by tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio or at Tiki and Tierney using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Have you ever been to a boxing match, Samter? D-Cell, have you ever been? No? No?
It's entertaining to watch. Like, for me, I hate going to football games. Because there's so much time in between plays. Yeah. In a 60-minute game.
It gets exhausting.
It's like 13 minutes of actual action. It's,
yeah.
You know, here's a 3-second play and then a 45-second clock in between. NBA can be great, but the first quarter and a half, two quarters, first half really.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
It's slow, yeah.
So unless there's like a crazy dunk or like a wild play, but for the most part, NBA games, they're all right. Baseball's cool, but it's not because of the game. It's because it's like a sunny day.
Yeah.
You're drinking beers with your friends. You're walking around the stadium, and it feels like you're in the park.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball's not that entertaining to watch. UFC is cool. And the cool thing about UFC compared to boxing has like a bunch of undercards that you don't care about, and then like one big main event.
Yeah.
UFC, you can go there and watch six good fights.
That's right.
So for me,
it doesn't matter the guy, like the fighter.
And then every card, they have three championship bouts. And sometimes it's John Jones with an undercard of, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk or something. Like, there's always two or three really good fights. And then a couple other fights that aren't, like, top bill, but are still really, really good fights. So
wanted to say her name, didn't you?
Joanna Jędrzejczyk?
Jędrzejczyk.
Jędrzejczyk.
Jędrzejczyk. I finally figured out how to say Khabib's last name.
Let's hear it.
I got to look at it, though. I can't.
All right, I'll spell it up here on the screen.
It's Nurma. Because the problem is you forget the ma. It's Nurmagomedov, right? You want to forget the ma. And if you don't say the ma, you can't say it. Like, you end up going like Nurga. You want to say the G before the M, but you got to say the M, Nurmagomedov. As long as you say the M-A, you can get it. If you want to say the G before the M, it screws you up. So I finally figured it out. It took like 3 years. The young bear fighter.
What about that player for Virginia? Tomas
Woldentensei?
Woldentensei.
Woldentensei.
Yeah, it is.
Woldentensei. He's balling, man. Balling. Three-point maven. was reading an article about him. I'm like obsessed now. How like he gets respect. He pulled up from like 30 feet the other day and he like pump faked it. And the guy just ran past him because, or like jumped at him, ran at him because he thought he was going to shoot it. It's from like 30 feet. He wasn't going to shoot it, but that's the respect that he's got because he's not, he started to knock down three pointers.
And now that you can say his name, it's more fun to watch him.
That's exactly right. You ready for the blast? Let's do it.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
So apparently the teams in the NFC North don't think that defense matters, I guess. You know, as the Vikings are getting rid of some other defensive players, now the Lions are moving on with a bunch of guys. They traded Quandre Diggs last year, as we know, to the Seahawks, right? They put Darius Slay All-Pro on the market. And now they cut Snacks Harrison. Now, obviously, we know Snacks has declined a little bit since leaving the Jets. Wasn't that great with the Giants. But he's still Snacks Harrison. He can still clog up the middle. You're getting rid of Diggs, Slay, and Snacks. So why would Detroit dismantle their defense, especially if they're trying to build a winner around
Stafford?
Dude,
I think they're starting over, man. I don't know if this – I think Matt Stafford – I mean, this was a rumor that we heard, and we discussed this about a week or so ago because his wife, Matthew Stafford's wife, posted on social media, like, if you're ready to get rid of us, just let us, you know, give us the choice of where we want to go. I think they might be stripping down. Let's not forget, Snacks Harrison, they signed him to an extension like 6 months ago. Like 8 months ago, they signed him to an extension, and now you move on. So clearly, their priorities have changed. They have some really high-priced players right now. Matt Stafford is one. His cap hit is $21 million this year. And if they want some cap savings, they can try to save him. Let me see what the dead money is here. It's a big number, so they couldn't do it really this year. But they could be positioning for 2021. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Detroit, but it's curious how they're moving on from a lot of their veteran players. Look, Snacks is going to get picked up somewhere, and he's going to be a great piece because he's basically, you know, a cheap addition because they cut him. They didn't try to trade him. They just cut him. So I think he'll be great for somebody at a low price.
And it's interesting because Patricia's a defensive guy too. So
I know. Maybe he just wasn't buying in.
Maybe he's so supremely confident in his schemes that he doesn't care about the players or they're not fitting in.
Maybe.
So focus more money on the offensive side. But it's still weird to me. Speaking of the offensive side of the ball, Dez Bryant was seen catching balls from Patrick Mahomes in a workout. And he's reportedly been begging the Cowboys to let him back and sign him again. Obviously, like, at the top of his game, he was one of the best in the NFL, and he's clearly fallen off, but he's not that bad at this point.
But
right? So why don't you think he's gotten a chance? And if you were an NFL GM and you needed a wide receiver, would you sign Dez?
No, I wouldn't. Look, I really like Dez Bryant. When we have him on, he's really entertaining, and he's fun to talk to. But Dez Bryant now has sat out for an entire year. He had an Achilles issue. He had an Achilles issue that put him out 2 seasons ago. And at 30, he's born in 88, so 32 years old. He'll be 33 in the midst of this season. I just don't think he's high on anybody's list. I know he's been working out with Pat Mahomes, and you know he can look okay running around in underwear, but what plagued him at the end of his time in Dallas is that he wasn't willing to commit to the details of route running. And the only way you could play a wide receiver in the NFL at an advanced age like Larry Fitzgerald is if you're precise and you have hands that are extraordinarily reliable, like your catch percentage is like 80-something percent. That's not Dez. Obviously, he's been plagued by drops over the course of his career, and his route running never was up to snuff as he got older and lost that step. So I don't see him signing with anybody.
That's sad, man. He was so good in his prime, man.
And he went out like...
like a fizz, like out of nowhere.
Just fizzled out. You're right.
Just dropped off the face of the earth. Now, you teased this before. An NBA player was seen wearing his own jersey. Kawhi Leonard.
Foul. That's a party foul, man.
Kawhi Leonard was seen during the All-Star break down in Cabo wearing a Kawhi Leonard #2 jersey. What are you doing?
Yeah, look, I told you the story, or at least I teased the story. So my brother borrowed my car when I lived in Upper East Side of Manhattan. And you know, he had to go to Jersey, so he took my car, and there was no gas in it. I forgot there was no gas, and I didn't tell him because I never use it. I take subways or walk because that's what you do in New York. So he was so pissed that I didn't tell him that the car had no gas because he got to Jersey and was like about to run out of gas. And when he came back, he's like, "I'm going to embarrass you." And he took my jersey, like my game jersey, not like a replica, like the one, like the big ones that have like the big shoulder pads and are like down to your knees. So it's like, I mean, it's worse than what Kawhi had on. But and he walked down the street in my jersey. Clearly, he looks like me. So people are like, "What the hell is Tiki wearing his like game jersey walking down the streets of Manhattan for?" And so, yeah, it's a party foul. You don't do that. He also, but the front of the jersey had something to do with like talking trash about something. It was like, "Are you mad?
Don't still? Be mad.
Don't be mad."
Yeah,
or something like that, which might be something I don't comprehend. Right, it's something I'm not aware of. So maybe there's a point for him wearing a jersey, but
you know, you can still wear a "Don't Be Mad" jersey. It doesn't have your name and number on it.
Yeah, it's just corny, man. it's just corny.
This was interesting. So we've talked a lot about player movement around baseball. Well, Phillies catcher JT Realmuto, he ripped the arbitration system. He got the record for most money ever in arbitration by a catcher, breaking, I think it was Matt Waiters for the Orioles a couple years ago. He got $10 million in arbitration. But he thought he was going to get more because his numbers are comparable with guys like Anthony Rendon in his arbitration eligible year, outfielders, sluggers, first baseman, third baseman. But because of the way that it's positioned, he actually had to go into arbitration as a catcher, and they look at it from a position standpoint. So his cap was, even though he got $10 million, it was lower than what he should have gotten, although higher than most catchers. So he ripped the system, called it outdated, called it unfair. Do you think it's outdated and unfair that players have to go by position, or the fact that he's a catcher, he has to get paid like a catcher?
I look, salary arbitration is such a weird thing because if you have more, the rule is if you have more than 3 years but less than six and you haven't signed an extension, then your value is open for interpretation, right? And so a panel sits and talks about what they think you're worth relative to the position that you play. It's just not fair. So does he have a case? Yes, of course he has a case. But I also see why Major League Baseball needs this, because guys can have, you know, a career year, maybe the best one of their entire career, in like their fourth season, and all of a sudden they're getting paid way too much, and maybe they come back to their mean. And so arbitration is important because it stabilizes, you know, the growth of salaries. And if that didn't happen, then it gets way out of whack and sets precedents that are impossible for teams to keep up with.
Last one, we had Sean Porter earlier in the show. He refused to give us who he thought would win. He thought it would be a knockout, but wouldn't tell us who he thought would win. So I'm going to put it on you, Tiki. Who you got?
You know, interestingly, I do think Tyson Fury is a better boxer. I think he lands more punches. He's an athlete. He can dodge like you have like nobody's business. Sean stopped short of comparing him to Muhammad Ali, because that's just most people hear him and say, "Dude, you crazy? Nobody rope-a-dopes like Muhammad Ali." But he can move. So I think that Tyson Fury is the better boxer. However, Deontay Wilder has a cannon on his arm. And if he connects, he can go lights out. So this bout is truly going to be dependent on Tyson Fury's emotion level. So if he gets out of whack and starts to like really be aggressive, I think he's going to get knocked out, because that's what happened in the 12th round in Wilder Fury 1. It was an evenly fought match between the two. Tyson Fury started to get a little bit of an upper edge on Wilder. Wilder basically sucked him in, and then he floored him. So as long as Wilder stays, you know, aggressive, I think he wins. If Tyson Fury gets aggressive, I think that Wilder also wins. The only way I think Fury wins is if it goes the distance. And since we're calling a knockout, I'm going to say Deontay Wilder.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I really am looking forward to this. I mean, I don't think we've talked this much about boxing in a while. I think the last one was probably Mayweather-McGregor, and that wasn't even really a boxing match. I mean, we didn't even see the Anthony Joshua thing come up where he lost to Ruiz. It's the event of the weekend, right? Maybe Giannis and Joel Embiid, Sixers, Bucks. But this boxing match tomorrow night is going to be a big deal. Appreciate you all tuning in the last couple of days. If I hosted solo, D-Cell, Samter, appreciate you. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. BT's back next week, as will I be. Peace out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.